Hey Zen friends, welcome to Crazy Zen Life. I'm your host, Brittany Swan.
And I'm your host, Shannon Kessler. Join us as we navigate life on and off our yoga mat.
We're back in the closet and we have a guy in our closet.
Yeah, normally the only guy that's in my closet is my husband, but today we're bringing Ethan, our trainer, into the closet. So we really appreciate you coming into such a feminine energy in the closet.
Absolutely.
He's surrounded by
shoes and dresses and earrings.
A little bit more heels in this closet than mine, but, you know.
Just a few. She did clean it for you, though.
I did. I tidied up a little bit. Actually, I'm not going to lie. It was really for the guests that we had on yesterday because they, like, clean homes and, like, organize things.
So I
was
like,
I should probably make this look a little more presentable.
Yes.
Truth be told. Like, it's the last minute rearrange fold. Okay, good.
So Ethan is really used to our feminine energy because he sees us once or twice a week because he is our personal trainer.
And by personal trainer, we mean ass kicker.
Ass kicker.
He tries to kill us every time. But we keep coming back and we pay for it, which is equally as weird because it's like, I'm sore. And yet, that's what I paid you to do.
Exactly.
So you're doing a great job at your job.
It.
So that's great.
We have a lot of fun. We have some lofty goals of not killing him with a ton of side eye or flicking him off every 5 minutes.
There's absolutely a mental count that I keep of side eyes and middle fingers. So Brittany's all about the side eye. And like we were talking about, you know, I don't even have to be looking at her. I can be looking away, looking down, and I can just feel it. It just pierces through me. And I'm like, Brittany's giving me a side eye somewhere, and I'm always right about that.
Now you know how my husband feels. It's like, if he's listening, he's like, I get it.
I get that side eye
all the time.
I'm sure.
So, you know, you understand.
Right.
That
and then every once in a while, Shannon will give me a nice little middle finger with a smile, though. It comes with a smile, so it's fine. It's balance,
it's
right?
Delivery. It's all about balance. The delivery.
Exactly.
It's like the finger, bless your heart.
It is.
Yeah, that's so true. Bless your heart.
Take those real dealt things and
she's still
up.
Salty about
you
that.
Are,
still
yeah.
salty. Still salty.
You weren't a fan of that one.
Oh, nope.
It was a different muscle group.
It was. But I can envision like LeBron James doing. I think there's a commercial where he's doing it and he's like crushing his like probably like 80 pounds on each one. You know, like LeBron style. And I'm like, oh, I got this. And 5 pounds, I'm like, I'm gonna die. It's like my kryptonite in the workout. I mean, anything else you throw at me, I'm totally cool. That. Nope.
I mean, those are what.
Those are no joke, though.
They are no joke.
That's what gets you the pull-up muscles, though.
It's true.
I know you guys are about the pull-ups.
Mine's a reverse lunge. I'm like, damn it. He's making me do a reverse lunge again.
Yeah.
I want to kill you.
That's true.
I'm like, this is how I'm going to blow up my knee, Ethan. Every time I'm like stepping back, it takes me like a minute on each side.
But you know, he's so good about guiding us into the right way to do it. So like, I never worry like, today the day the knee goes.
No, it's not because Ethan
knows what he's doing, and he's like, let's take a step back, maybe make a little more space in between, and then you're like, got it, thanks, you are paying attention. Okay, good.
No, I'm so fearful, and I hate a lunge. Like,
right.
Damn it, lunge day.
It's true. Well, if you've ever seen us complain or work out, if you will, on Instagram, it is with Ethan, and his handle is fantastic.
Yes.
It's Eat the Weights. Which I think is genius. Can you tell us where that came from?
Yeah, absolutely. So Eat the Weights, it actually originated, I want to say 10 years or maybe a little bit longer ago. And basically, kind of started in a really silly way, a really goofy way. And my friend and I were working out and we were just kind of dragging through the workout, not really getting much done. And just had a moment where I looked at him. I was like, dude, just eat the weights. Just do it. Just get after it. Like, let's just attack it. And we laughed and it was really like, you know, not a thing at the time, but then it kind of, you know, set in. We're like, well, that's kind of catchy. Like, eat the weights.
Eat
the weights.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like a mentality to just do it no matter what, you know,
right.
and be strong and get through it. And so, like, it stuck, and we thought about it a little bit longer. And, you know, looking back, it's kind of cool because it was not only, you know, obviously it's like my Instagram handle now, and, you know, it's like a hashtag that I use frequently, but it was like the first step into, like, entrepreneurship, too, because at that time we were like, this is catchy, so, like, let's make t-shirts. Let's just do something like that. Like, put it on t-shirts. Let's sell it. And, you know, we're thinking, like, oh, we're going to be millionaires in, like, a month. Like, what am I going to tell people when I start making all this money? And, like
and how old were you at the time when you had this conversation with yourself? Like,
I mean, probably 17.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah.
16-ish. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, totally reasonable expectations, for right? For
sure. Yes.
So, and that was the time when hashtags were getting really popular on social media. So we put the little hashtag in front of the Eat the Weights on the shirt, and we just thought we were it, you know?
Yeah.
And looking back, it's like the most basic t-shirt ever. And I will wear it to the gym one day to train y'all. Don't worry. I found it the other day.
Show tomorrow wearing it.
I will, absolutely.
And you can bring an alternate. You can change
exactly. Exactly. So yeah, just kind of stuck from there. And I think, you know, like I was saying, it's just kind of that mentality to just get it done. Like, you know, even if you don't feel like it, even if you're dragging, like, just eat the weights, just do it.
Something I've noticed on your Instagram too, like, so it's eat the weights, and then like they'll kind of like pile onto it, like, man, you are really hungry, you know, or did you leave any left, or something. Yeah. Like, I've noticed like people kind of go with it.
Yeah, like I got a good friend, Marcus, that I train with as far as like workout with. And, you know, like, I'll be in the middle of, like, a set of deadlifts, and he'll just start, like, yelling, like, eat, eat, eat. And, like, yeah, it's just, like, it's motivational.
It is motivational.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
It's silly, but motivational. So, whatever works, right?
Yeah, I think I would smile every time. Like,
yeah,
okay, all right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, that's,
I could do this. So, how did you get into personal training, though?
So, personal training, basically, I've always been into fitness since I was really young. You know, from the time I was, like, 13 or 14, I was already trying to figure out ways to like work out and stuff like that, and I was like really passionate about it. But I think the main, you know, kind of switch in my head that took place is when, you know, I played a lot of sports in high school, just mostly for fun, you know, basketball, football, that kind of thing. And I suffered a really bad knee injury. So basically my knee was essentially a little bit like dislocated, the kneecap was cracked, and it was a really long recovery process that took a lot of work away from, you know, the court and the field. It was more so working out on my own and having to train in the weight room in the meantime until I was healthy. Mm-hmm. And I think at that time, not only did I see like progression physically, but, you know, mentally, I was just in such a better space. I was really focused, energized, you know, mood was improved. And I tend to be a very like ADD type person where I'm very easily distracted and, mm-hmm. you know, have trouble staying on task. And it really helped with that too. So just seeing the overall transformation that it could have on my life made me really inspired to like want to share that, you know, like, who else can I help and have a positive impact on their lives? And kind of just grew from there. And basically at that point, got a part-time job at a gym, just doing like, you know, quote unquote, like health coaching, where you just kind of show people the equipment, how to use it, real basic stuff. And then mm-hmm. got more passionate about it and, you know, followed up and actually became a personal trainer and did that part-time and just really fell in love with it. Yeah, in college. So I think I'd mentioned it to you all before, but basically, yeah, when I was in college at Western Kentucky University, go Hilltoppers.
Woo!
Yeah, I was basically going to school during the week, and I would drive back on the weekends and work every weekend in Louisville. Basically, on Saturdays, I would work in a supplement store selling, like, sports supplements, you know, protein powders, protein bars, all that good stuff. And then Sundays, I would work at the YMCA just as a trainer, you know, so I kind of kept my foot in all the doors. And,
mm-hmm.
and
it's a big hustle, too.
It is.
It was, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was. So that's when I just kind of got my foot in the health industry, so to speak, and really just fell in love with it.
Yeah, so
honestly.
You really didn't get to, like, to, you sacrificed all the, like, the party and everything. Like, you were driving. Right, yeah. I mean, I know you probably still had fun, but
right,
like, you kind of made this, like, your hustle. Like, you
for
really
sure.
got done. You saw the light.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I still had fun for sure, but it just every weekend going back and forth and, you know, it was something that was worth it to me, though. Like, I think, you know, if it was like a part-time job I wasn't passionate about, then I would have never stuck with it. But mm-hmm. seeing that, oh, wow, this is like a job I actually like the first one, to be honest, you know, because I had all the basic like teenage jobs where I'm just like, I was like a golf cart boy. I was like, you know, first job was at Steak and Shake. I mean, really glamorous stuff. Guys.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a real good right. deal. Right.
But then, you know, you find something that you really enjoy, you can really find more of a benefit in it and more motivation to do that.
It doesn't feel
hustle.
Like work at that
exactly.
point. It's
yeah.
just what you enjoy doing.
For sure.
Do you have like education training in
yeah.
this, or is that what you went to school for?
Yeah, so at Western Kentucky, I studied exercise science. So
oh,
that's,
fun.
That's what
okay.
I got into. And then
so you know a lot
also,
of the technicals.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. And then basically through the Y also, you know, went through a personal training type program and learned even more in that regard. So definitely a lot of background in it, for sure.
That's great.
And did working at the supplement store, did that kind of wet your whistle into nutrition? Or
absolutely.
Is that something that you kind of
no, that's,
learned from that?
I'm glad you said that, actually, because basically what that led to, I didn't really realize at the time that it would, But even though it was a sports supplement store, which, like I said, you know, like proteins, protein bars, all those things, they actually had a program where I guess they, you know, they really, which we're lucky, they really invested in the employees that they had. So they actually certified us as nutritional advisors.
Oh, great. Yeah. Wow.
So, and I'm talking about
you
like
you totally lucked out with that job.
I did. Yeah. So that was,
it was kind of on the job training.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And it was free. So you can't beat that because, I mean, if you know anything about certification programs,
they're very expensive.
They're an investment for sure, to say the least. So,
which is, you know, you'd want to if this is your career and you want to make sure you're
for sure,
you've got the right tools in the toolbox, so to speak.
And for the supplement store, too, they want you knowledgeable.
Yeah.
These supplements are not cheap.
Yeah.
So,
well, and they can be really dangerous if you're, you know, using them the wrong way.
That's true.
So it's smart that they have, you know,
education
for employees. Wow, I'm gonna clap it out for your supplement store. That's great.
Yeah, no, that was awesome.
So you can take those tools. You already had so much in your toolbox at like 22.
Yep, absolutely.
You're like, I'm good. Right. See you later.
Right, right.
So did you make the transition back to Louisville and just started your fitness or training business?
Right, yeah. So basically what happened at that point is went back to Louisville, was super thankful that I did do the weekend hustle, so to speak, because basically I just started working more hours at the supplement store and more hours at the gym.
Sure.
And just really, like I said, started seeing a passion for helping people and training them. And then at that point, I did get like another type job that was more of an office job for a while. And, you know, that helped me grow too, because I feel like that was a situation where it's like, I felt like that's what I was supposed to do. You know what I mean? Just like that's
the expectation.
Exactly.
Like
work,
put on
work
you.
The 9 to 5, make sure you have the benefits, make sure, you know, everything, all of those nice things are taken care of, which that's fine. Not to knock anybody that does that at all. But that wasn't for me. I mean, you talk about how training has centered like my ADD, so to speak. That was the worst environment. I mean, it's just, it was tough to stay focused, tough to stay motivated, tough to,
What kind of office job was this? I kind of need to know the details because I want to envision like what were you?
Were you in a queue?
I know, like I can't see you doing this.
Like,
I kind of picture like Mr. Incredible.
Oh my gosh!
I love that movie.
That is a great
movie. Right?
I love that movie so much.
So that's what I'm kind of picturing. He's like
it's a little bit like that, but more so. It was actually like an office with like no windows. So like, I mean, it just. If you know anything about me, I love fitness, obviously, but I love to be like outside. I need windows. I need all the positive energies, you know, around me.
Right.
And that wasn't it.
That was not it. You're like, I need to keep this.
So that's when I was just basically was like, you know, personal training is where my heart's at, you know, and maybe a lot of people, you know, would say that's a tougher career path to just make happen long term, but
it was a big risk.
I didn't care.
It was a big risk.
It was a big risk, absolutely, but I didn't care at the time. And, you know, I just felt like as long as I was passionate about it, it would work itself out. It may have its challenges, but it will work itself out. And I definitely think it has. So glad I went with that route for sure.
That that's awesome.
That's
it. So, well, I feel like that's such a, like to be a personal trainer, you have to be really self-motivated.
Absolutely.
And you've got to be willing to do the work in getting people into the door. Like you can't just like open up and be like, all right, we're the people.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, exactly. It's not going to happen. You can't, like it's not going to work.
You really need to, you know, promote like, I want to see you flourish.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what you do a great job.
Yeah. Well, that's actually, it's a good segue into this question of with the increase of social media comes.
Sure.
Anybody looks like they can put out, you know, a fitness regimen.
So very true.
So where do you stand on this topic of like, how can you identify people that are just lifting a weight, or do you look for technique, or you know, like how would you help somebody kind of filter through, you know, this would be a good option, this one maybe not so much.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, I think I'm glad you mentioned that because I see that daily, and it's, you know, in all honesty, being transparent, like it can be frustrating as somebody who's put so much time and effort into like educating themselves and really going all in to see, you know. I mean, you get like the booty programs and stuff like that from girls and stuff like that are just kind of like, you know, basing all their training off their looks and things like that. And guys are just as bad for sure. You know what I mean? The guys that clearly don't know what they're doing and they'll put out a plan and we see it all the time. But to me, what I would always suggest is like, you know, two things. Number one, the people that you know in your life that are having success or doing what you want to do, like talk to them. Go see who they're training with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's helping them get to where they want to be? You know, because I think that's a good way to have that level of comfort and and familiarity with it. And you know, that's just what I would suggest mainly. And then, like I said, you know, find somebody that really can match or help you attain your specific goals. You know what I mean? To just kind of touch on it as an example and a reference point, like I have a lot of women that I'm working with that are really into pull-ups right now. You know what I mean? And that's, yeah, Brittany's hand just shot up in the air.
I did. I want to do right. one pull-up.
Right. But I see that all the time. I mean, I have at least 10 or more women that are really focusing on that right now. So sure. I've really put in the time and effort to formulate like a plan and, you know, a plan of action, so to speak, to make that a reality and help people achieve that. So just find somebody that is going to help you with your specific goals, because you got to be really careful with the cookie cutter plan, so to speak, that are just like, hey, I'm going to sell you this plan and it's the same if you buy it or your friend who's never worked out buys it. Because, I mean, that's so irresponsible and it's just not going to be effective. Everybody has a different starting point. And, you know, as a professional, you should obviously be able to cater to any starting point.
Right.
But when you see the ones that are just sold online, you're not necessarily getting that. So you got to be really careful for sure.
Okay. That's great advice.
I'd like to add one thing into this, because I think you have to be willing to be a little bit vulnerable.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Because you're putting yourself out there to another person. So say like you're listening to this and you want to go search out a personal trainer or someone who you have been like, I want to be able to do this.
Right.
You have to like be a little bit humble pie and a little bit of vulnerability. And I think that's kind of hard in today's society.
Sure.
That's why I think that we pivot towards those like all-inclusive, closed door, here's your cookie cutter plan.
Right.
Because you can do it within the confines of your home without stepping outside your comfort zone.
I think that's a very, very fair statement for sure.
I kind of be all-encompassing. I don't think there's anything wrong to maybe look at those plans, see what you can take from it, but also seeking a professional. We've talked a lot about that.
I think it's very important to have, I mean, if you're just starting with something, a program where you're not even sure what the lingo is, I don't feel like the smartest and safest way to start. I've always said, like, when people are like, oh, how do I start yoga? I want to start it at my house. I'm like, yes, you can get there. But I think it's more beneficial to be with an instructor who's going to help you with technique and, you know,
absolutely,
placement. And, you know, maybe like if you're having a tweak and holding them, you know, a weight, if you turn it a certain way, you're going to feel, you know,
like
that pressure release
do.
And you're really, really great at that. So I think I understand people may be intimidated to go to a gym and it's like, I just don't want to be judged by other people, but you owe it to yourself to find, you know, an instructor or just somebody, an expert in the field, just ask those questions and make sure that you're not, you know, putting yourself into harm's way.
That's a good point.
And what I love about Ethan's...
Because I don't even know what something he's a deadlift. I'm like, what's that again?
What does that mean?
Because I don't even know the lingo. Or
no.
He says like a something press. I'm like, huh?
Which one is that?
It does pay to, even if, you know, to the lingo.
And what I love about your studio is that I feel like there's like a very, it's like a judge-free zone. Like you walk in and it's not like a ton of people looking at you like, how do I use this equipment? I mean, I do love those videos online when you see people use the equipment and it's like, they look like they're going to slingshot across the gym. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Right.
But I can imagine like that's an intimidation factor for a lot of people. And that's why they want to stay away from like a big box gym.
Sure.
So I think that you're like the perfect, you know, answer to someone who's like, no, I really am interested in getting, you know, onto my fitness goals and that sort of thing. So I think it's great that you have such an inviting environment in Peak Fitness. That's
right.
Really cool.
I do too.
Right.
It's like it's a very open vibe. It's like the yoga studio of a...
It really...
With weights.
Yeah, it's a great way to put that. I feel the same way. I
it
feel super
zen
when I'm in there. I'm like, I love
do
this
too.
Place. Even though we're pumping like, you know, old school rap and
a lot
of Cardi
B. We're
jumping on boxes. Like, it's super zen.
It is.
It's definitely an environment we've tried to create. So I'm very glad that comes through.
Cool.
Because, you know, basically... I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, a lot of people, when they want to start training, I mean, anytime you do something that you're not super familiar with, you'd like to have a little privacy with that, right? You'd like to be able to do your workout and have a professional there to help you every step of the way while not being stared at by, you know...
Joe Schmo.
The intimidating Joe Schmo in the corner that's, like, grunting through every set.
Right.
And sweating all over his equipment and not cleaning in. I mean, all these gym stereotypes, you know? So I think the private gym atmosphere is something, you know, we really strive for. And, I mean, even like you guys said, like, small little things that we do to try to enhance people's experience. Like, I play whatever music clients want, you know, and that can go a long way too. I've been to some commercial gyms and man, collecting my jar of hearts is not going to get me through a set of heavy, like, you know, presses. I mean, I just
like,
I'm not trying to be in my feelings like while I'm lifting. Like, it's too much. Like, I'm like, can we please change the channel? Please.
What are your lifting jams? Like, if you were lifting, okay. what's your, this is it?
I mean, do you have like a leg day set, like a chest set?
I'm a little,
I feel like a playlist can,
you know. Yeah, I'm a little all over the place, but there's some funny stories with that. So, you know, definitely metal type music really gets me going for some heavy lifts. Like Metallica, old school,
like stuff like that.
Yeah, what? For my lifting.
I didn't see that coming.
No, I'm all over the place with music. Yeah. I think you guys have kind of picked up on that. But then there's also a time where, you know, as much as I am a big believer that music helps, it 100% helps. I also think that, and Brittany, you and I have talked about this. Yeah, I think that like it's very easy to rely on that and kind of get in your head like, I can't do it without my music. So
there's
been times where I'm with my friends and I'll do like a heavy set of deadlifts, just like, have 500 on the bar repping it, and then I'll be like, hey, listen to the song that I was listening to, and it'll be like Toxic by Britney Spears, and I'm just like, and they're just like, you're crazy.
Stop
and
it.
I'm like, I am crazy, but second of all, you should be able to do it to anything. Like,
You don't have to have that one, exactly that one
right.
jam.
Because if you base your whole workout around, I have to have everything, all the environment, all the settings perfect. I mean,
it just
that's not
an
life.
Excuse,
that's
right?
not life. Yeah.
Oh, I can't do it. I don't have the right playlist.
Right.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Eat the weights. Just do it.
My shoelace is broken, like we said before.
Right, Oh, I can't.
Yeah, I can't run today. My shoelace is broken. Get another pair of shoes.
Girl, you got this.
Yeah.
Go.
So, through your weightlifting journey, were you ever in, like, competitions? Did you ever seek out kind of motivation that way?
Yeah. So, you know, from pretty early on in lifting, I kind of realized that, you know, there's two different ways a lot of people go when they get into training at that age. Like, you know, it was like it could either train for like aesthetics or I could train for strength.
And aesthetics to me, meaning like you're...
Yeah, like I was kind of at a turning point where I was either going to get into like bodybuilding type stuff or where I was going to train for strength, which is more powerlifting, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I kind of knew right away, I was like, I would rather get strong than worry about, you know, all about appearances. Because another thing I like about that, and it's something I really preach to my clients, is like strength is so measurable. You know what I mean? You got better or you didn't. And there's nothing more motivating than progress in general. You know, we all want to look better, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with wanting to look better from working out at all, but it's much more subjective. And sometimes we're too harsh on ourselves as far as like, I don't see the improvement when everybody else around you can see it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
But strength is just black and white. It's very, you got better or you didn't. And that's motivating to me. So I got really into powerlifting, which is, for those of you that don't know, it's, you know, the squat, bench, and deadlift are the three main lifts. And I got really into that. And like I said to you all, that's one of my major goals, is just to get into a meet and do, you know, certain lifts by the time I'm 30. I've really, really got that in mind. So we'll see how that works out.
Cool.
So what is your goal by the time you're 30?
By the time I'm 30, I want to bench 405 in a meet, and I want to deadlift anything over 600.
Nice.
No joke.
No joke.
That's like a small hippo that you are going to press over your body. Like, that's
baby
crazy.
Bear. It's a baby bear.
It's a baby bear. That's nuts.
Let's look up all the things that are 600
pounds. Yeah, let's
pounds.
Do that.
I forgot to do that. But let's do
we're gonna
all the
do
things
that this
are 600
time
pounds. And, like, this is what Ethan's going to lift up.
Yep.
And then we're going to text you once a week.
I love
until
it.
You do this.
You got to keep me on track.
Are you there yet? Are you there yet? Are you there yet?
I need it. For sure.
And just something that I've noticed, too, even just increasing that weight, of what, you know, you told me, like, it's a lot even to add 2 pounds.
Oh, yeah. It's a process.
As you grow up into
these
higher weights.
When you've been doing it for a period of time, you know, I've probably been doing it in my own personal training of my powerlifting, so to speak. You know, I've probably been doing it coming up on 10 years. I mean, it's been a while. You know, I've been kind of getting after it for a while. And at a certain point, you just kind of, you do reach that point where you're like 5 pounds is like a big increase. And you just have to be okay with that. It's mentally a little challenging because you, of course, we all just want to see those overnight successes. And that's just, it's a good life lesson though, because it's like you have to put in the work for a long period of time to get results. You know, there's not going to be any easy handouts. Mm-hmm. I know one of my favorite things I've heard, I was listening to a podcast about strength training, and there was a coach on there, and he's like, you know, people always ask me, like, how to improve their squat, like, should they do? And I tell them, if you're looking to squat heavy, you should squat heavy consistently for 10 years and don't get hurt. Then you'll be stronger. And they hated that answer. Of course they did, you know? I mean, everybody
wants... No, I want the secret sauce.
Right, and, you know, another quote to piggyback off that I really like is, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but it's so true. You just got to, you have to be consistent. You have to be willing to progress slower than you want, because that's human nature to want to get everything instantly, but hopefully the idea and the goal is you'll look back and be like, okay, well, I've come pretty far, you know? Yeah. I've kind of got to where I wanted to go. Maybe not at the pace I'd like, but the end goal remains the same, and you've hopefully achieved it by being consistent, so.
I love having
a roadmap and being able to deviate from the roadmap a little bit.
Well, and knowing that sometimes that's like where the best part of the journeys happen is like the setbacks. I mean,
yes.
We talk about this all the time. Like, yeah. I'm so thankful for every speed bump I've ever encountered because it's made me just a better person. And now I know how to tackle it. Next time it comes on, I'm like, I've been here before.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I know what to do.
And right. I find like even though the speed bumps happen, I'm willing to try to overcome that speed bump on my own. Like I'm like, okay, yeah. I can figure this out.
Yeah,
may take me a little bit.
Right. A lot of that is confidence from having done it before too.
Yes.
So that's another benefit that they have. And like we said in the beginning, I think without the setback or the road bump, so to speak, of me getting hurt,
I would never have discovered this.
Yeah.
Right. You were trying to play basketball over in Western.
Yeah.
You were,
for sure. Absolutely.
Show me that guard.
Yeah. Right. So do you, I mean, I know that you train a wide variety of people.
Sure.
But how, like, I know that you also do like a personalized approach to each person, but mm-hmm. what are some things that you would, if somebody just wanted to get started,
mm-hmm. sure.
What would some advice that you would give a new beginner?
Right. Well, I think the main thing for beginners is, you know, just building that level of comfort, because like we talked about, it can be intimidating. There's no way around it. Just, we all fear the unknown. That's human nature. Like, I can touch on it later, but like when I first did yoga, same thing. You know, I was real intimidated. I mean, yeah. I haven't been that scared in a while, to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
But, oh, really?
Yeah. I just didn't know what to expect. I had no idea. I mean,
like, I'm going to tear something. Right. I'm going to,
for sure. It'd be terrible.
Yeah. Ethan is one of the punniest people. Like, he's not a dad. He's a dad to a dog. So you're like your dog dad.
Right.
But like the best dad jokes.
Yes.
I'd put him up there with like some of the best dads of the corniness.
Up there with my father-in-law. Like, yeah. I thought he had good ones, and I'm like, man. It's like, it always comes back.
Always.
He's like, all of a sudden, you're like, it's
quick. I can't even stop it from coming out of my mouth.
So, honestly, you've been warned, friends, that it's the puns are coming.
You might hear another one.
Absolutely.
Yes. No, but you were super intimidated about entering into the yoga studio.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I just didn't know what to expect.
When was your first stepping onto the mat experience?
I think it was at Yoga Baum, which is right above my gym. In the Meridian Center, the one that's owned by Laurie LeCompte, and I think y'all are going to talk to her at some point. She's awesome and made me feel comfortable, but the first time walking in there, it's just like, I mean, I can't emphasize it enough. I just didn't know what to expect. Like, I literally knew that there's a mat involved and I'm going to be stretching in some way, shape, or form.
Right. I'm just going to be moving.
I didn't know, yeah. I mean, we talked about earlier in the podcast, like how there's certain like jargon, so to speak, with like training, and I say a deadlift, and Brittany, you're like, wait, which one's that one?
Mm-hmm.
And that's completely fair. Like, I didn't, when
you're
I walked
like,
in there,
one,
I didn't,
you're like, what?
I didn't, not only that, I didn't know what downward dog was at the time. I was like, I don't know what that means.
Right.
Like, I can think about my dog and try to like picture what she would do if she's downward, but I don't know if it's going to look right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's just, I was scared, just intimidated as far as like, you know, there's a lot of people in there that know what they're doing and they're very advanced, and you know, that can be the same kind of thing to kind of circle back to the gym where, you know, people might look at me and be like, well, he's on a level that I'm intimidated by, or he's been doing it a while, so he's going to judge me and think less of me. And that's just not the case. You know, it takes a lot of courage to try something new and be willing to put yourself out there. So
do you feel like that's made you a better trainer for people coming in trying weightlifting or weight training for the first time?
I think it's made it a lot easier to relate to that train of thought for sure, because you know, that's the position I was in. And, you know, I've been able to make steady improvements over time. And, you know, of course, I would like to be great right away, like we talked about, but it's about being patient. It's about building that Zen mindset that you guys, you know, have talked to me about too. And I think that it has helped a lot in that regard too. So just seeing the positive benefits, you know, even though it might seem intimidating at first, there's that light at the end of the tunnel. And that's definitely what I try to tell my clients coming in. So,
yeah, that's cool.
So you get a vast array of clients.
Absolutely.
Right?
For sure.
So how do you format, like, because you have some guys that try to power lift too.
Absolutely, yep.
Mm-hmm. And then you have, so how do you go from like training them to training like us, where we're like, that's kind of tricky.
You have to be very flexible and adaptable. as far as like the mental approach to it too. Everybody's motivated in a different way. You know, when powerlifting's involved, it might involve some metal music. It might involve a little bit of getting fired up and just being in a certain mental state, you know, that won't be the same for somebody that's coming in for weight loss, or even people that are, you know, very like yoga fit, such as yourselves, that are working on your own fitness journeys. It's all different. But at the same time, it's just reading people and knowing what they need. I think you have to know your style though as well. Like, I know that I'm never going to be a drill sergeant. It's just not what I want to be. It's not how I'm going to be. And I'm very lucky and thankful enough that even the people that may struggle for motivation, they all want to be there. They all want to work with me. So I don't have to like beg people to do their workouts. They work hard. You know what I mean? So I'm always going to be, I try to be like a calming person where I can make people feel comfortable, but also make sure they stay on track without making them feel like I'm going to yell at them or, you know, get on them too much, because I want them to feel comfortable. And at the end of the day, this is literally,
come back.
But it's also, it's like their time though. It's truly their time. Like, people look forward to their workouts, and that's the coolest part, honestly. Like, I was working with a guy the other day, and when we first started working out, he's like, I don't want to lie to you at all. I hate working out. Like, I hate it. I hate it, hate it, hate it. Like, I don't like it. I've never liked it. Okay. I don't like it. I'm going to try my best, but I don't like it. 2 months later, you know, something comes up. He had to miss a workout. And next time I see him, he's like, I didn't think these words would ever come out of my mouth, but I missed the workout. I missed it. I missed it a lot. Yeah, and that's just like, that's awesome. A heavy moment. That's life changing, you know what
that's
I mean?
Amazing. So,
and now he's like, you know, he knows how much he lifts on everything. Like, he's just super into it. And he's like, I think I understand how people become like, you know, quote unquote gym rats. I understand how they get the bug and they want to work out all the time. And that right there is like all the satisfaction I need.
That's
from
a lot of, that's
you know
a great
mean?
Validation.
That is like, great.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing.
Like,
yeah.
I'm filling that bucket for you. Like, I guess.
So cool.
Absolutely.
And too, like, in a service mentality, and I think we all kind of are, like, my students in my yoga class, and you want to make Louisville pretty, and you do want to give back. Like, you want them to feel like their best self.
Absolutely.
All the time.
Right.
So, I love that.
We all want to feel like our best selves, you know? So, why not try to share that with others and, like, It's super cliche, but, you know, life is hard. So, like, we should just be nice.
Yeah.
It's
being
hard.
Human
like, you don't
is
know what
hard.
People are dealing
it
with.
It is.
Like,
I know. It's so
like
true.
It's just the truth. Life's going to have up and downs. And if that's the 1 hour in the day that they can focus on themselves and really make it about them, then I'm glad to be a part of it. And I want them to have a positive experience and walk out the door feeling better than they did when they came in.
That's great.
So. You do offer a lot of grace while instructing just us. I mean, and I see through some of the other videos. So that is a great one that you do. I'm really proud of, you know. Actually, I've seen a little bit of transformation, like a little bit. You are a little bit more zen. I think yoga is doing its job.
I think so. I know.
You got your malas on.
Yeah, it's like, I can do it.
And he goes to acupuncture.
Absolutely.
Like, oh my gosh, he's so zen.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm trying to get there for sure. I tend to be a person just naturally like high frustration level. So it just helps to have that time to kind of zen out and just try to center myself. And, you know, like the times in class where, you know, like they'll say, you know, think about where your mind's going right now, like focus on that and be mindful of it. And it just really puts it into perspective. Like, what am I stressing about? Why am I stressing about it? You know, and just really gives you like that big picture perspective, so to speak. Like, what's really bothering me? Is it really worth stressing over? And 9 times out of 10, no, it's not worth it. You know?
Yeah. We talk about that a lot. It's where a lot of times you get frustrated with things that are just an inconvenience. You're like, well, did I really have a bad day?
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
I was just inconvenienced quite a bit today. It's not that big of a deal.
Right. And I'm really into quotes, if you can't tell, but another
one
of
my great ones.
I just love them. I mean, quotes I've always been drawn towards them. I love writing. I love quotes. I just love all of it. And one of my favorites too is like, you know, stress is like a rocking chair. You can go back and forth all day, but you're not getting anywhere. So why are you doing it?
I've never heard that one.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Absolutely.
You posted that one recently?
I haven't.
I know
should,
that's
though.
Good.
You should. Yeah, I should.
My grandma used to tell me.
And you like being like zen. Yeah. So you need to like, what are you doing? Why are you stressing?
Yeah. She used to tell me, she's like, stress is just dessert spelled backwards. And I was like,
ooh. Yeah. See,
right.
That was good too.
I know.
That's money. I like that.
Well, she did make a badass chocolate cake. So I think really she was like, so eat the cake, honey. Don't be stressed.
Not only is it dessert, but it's my dessert.
Right.
It's real good.
Yeah,
so.
Really good. So don't
this will
be
take
stressed.
Away your stress.
Yeah, exactly.
This will take away the stress.
That's awesome.
That is a really good one. So we did touch on this earlier, but you are a doggy dad. Can you tell us about your doggy?
Yeah, absolutely.
It does so, fill your Instagram feed a lot. She does.
I mean, it has to. She's beautiful, you know?
She is beautiful.
No, but yeah, Peyton is my dog. She just turned 5, so I've had her for all the 5 years. I like to refer to her as my animal soulmate. She's definitely my best friend.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But yeah, she's just a knucklehead. She's got a lot of energy and is really good to come home to, you know? She's funny. Every time I open the door, she'll like wag her tail and be real happy to see me, but then she'll disappear and then go get her toy right away. She's just straight play mode, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
it's like, hey, Dad.
She's
so
fun. Yeah, every time she's like, hey, look at this toy. Have you ever seen it before? I'm like, no, never. It's a brand new toy. Really cool.
But, oh, get another one. Hold on.
Yeah, she just...
I love that about dogs.
It's good to have... Cute. Yeah, dogs are just always that, you know, consistent... you know, energy source in your life where they're just always in a good mood.
Right.
And I love being around her, you know, taking her outside, playing with her. It's just, she's a lot of fun to have around. Every once in a while, she'll find her way into Peak even.
I would love if Peyton could be there one day when we're there.
I think we could definitely make that happen. See, she is.
If you could make it on the real Delt Day,
right.
Then I probably
Shayna's gonna be like, I'm gonna go pet Peyton. I just have to. During the set. I'll get to it eventually. Wink, wink. But yeah, she's awesome. If anything, you know, her only fault that I say is that she's like overly friendly because she's never met a stranger. She's never met an enemy. I mean, somebody could probably break into my place and she would be like, you're my new best friend, which, hey. I mean, it's just how she
is.
You
want to go football?
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of dog is she?
So she's a pit bull mix.
Oh, sweet. Was she a rescue?
She was, yep. Cool. Got her from the Humane Society.
We're a fan of rescues around here.
Yes, we are.
I know. I'm such a sucker, though, guys. She's like, I walked in that place, I knew I wanted a dog, and she's the first one I held, and it was a wrap. I was like, well,
that was easier.
My best friend now. You're
an instant bestie.
Yeah. So, I mean, I looked at the other dogs and stuff, but it was over. Came back the next day, played with her a little bit longer, and I was like, let's make this happen.
Right.
I'd already bought the leash. Like, I was so committed.
You went home and you're like stewing over it. Like,
oh,
okay.
For sure.
I should have picked her up then. She's
absolutely
gone.
Oh, I know. Gosh, that's the worst feeling. I know. It really was. There was that flutter like in my chest. Like,
is she going to be there?
You should have already got her. What if she's not there? Like, I don't know. But I'm glad I got her. And so awesome. She's a big part of my life that I like to show off as often as possible.
Well, that's where really you find sweet. Your zen of hanging out with her. Exactly. I mean, and you can kind of just like, there's no judgment here. Like,
yes. Yes.
It's just me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Peyton her toys.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
I totally get that because when we found Baron, my husband found him on a lake. And we brought him home and like some other guy wanted to take him, like that was on the trip, the guy's trip. Mm-hmm. And Lamb's like, no, he's mine. Like, because he was like, I might take him. He's like, well, if you're not going to take him, he's like, well, I'm going to take him.
Right.
No. We're already besties.
I'm committed. Right.
We're already besties. Yeah. And then we made it really super complicated for anyone to get him back from Barren River. So we were like, here, you can come back to Louisville. Here, we posted up a couple of signs just for good nature.
Right. But just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah.
He was ours.
But he's
right. So I totally get that. Really, because he was like, I was kind of freaking out. I mean, he wanted to take Barren from us. I was like, oh, no.
When you know, you know.
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine. I'm like, can you imagine now?
I know. It's like, I feel
that's
like
a horrible thought. They
pick you.
I can't think of it.
They do pick you. Yeah. They're like, I like that guy.
Yeah.
He's going to throw the bone with me. I know this.
And Georgie barked at you less today.
Yes, she did.
That's true.
Like, I didn't want to draw attention to it because then she's like, wait a second, do I need to be barking?
Right. No, she was like, he's been here before.
Yeah.
I know this guy.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Yeah. Right. Go ahead. Well, we do have to finalize with our fun questions.
Yes. So I'm curious, Ethan, where do you find your Zen zone?
Oh, that's a good question. A lot of times outdoors is a good Zen zone, just going on a walk with Peyton. I mean, to be honest, there's a really cool area behind where I live that's like kind of like a forested area, lots of nature. And yeah, I really like just taking her on a walk and just kind of being with my thoughts and trying not to stress and, you know, let the thoughts of the day just kind of naturally come and not be too worried or too stressed and just take everything in, you know, and be thankful. So that's probably my biggest Zen zone. Of course, I do love working out and I can use that as a Zen zone now and then, but they're just very different Zen zones. One's more of like, you know, kind of channeling all the frustration and making it a positive force. Another one's more of just taking in the day and being thankful and spending time with my pup. So
cool.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I got one for you.
Oh man.
What's your favorite emoji?
Ooh.
The smirk.
The smirk?
Absolutely.
Which one's that?
The smirk. You know, the little... It's like the grin, but only like that one side's
like
going
that
up.
One turn. Okay.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay,
that's
sure.
a good one. That's
absolutely.
A good one. That's a good one. So what's your roll down the window song? It had to be your favorite song, but when you hear it, you're like, windows down, I need... Well, you don't have any hair. He's got a great beard. No hair in his head.
Right.
But if you could let the wind go through your hair.
It goes through my beard.
Okay.
it'll
what
get
has
it.
Your beard blowing in the breeze?
It'll get it flowing. It'll get it flowing for sure. I mean, like I said, I really am that person that, like, I love, like, all genres of music. Like, literally, my grandpa was really, really into bluegrass music, and I've even picked up some of that and really got mm-hmm. into it. Then, obviously, the metal when I'm working out, the gangster rap with you all. But, I mean, if T. Swift comes on,
yeah.
I mean, I'm turning it up, you know,
Taylor
windows down.
Hyatt.
I mean.
That's a good one.
People don't expect that from me, but I just got to keep it real. I mean. Taylor Swift, she's good.
Hey,
that
she
latest
brings
album,
it.
I mean,
she brings it.
Her concerts that I went to, yeah, I've been to two concerts. It's a thing.
Two guys.
Absolutely. So,
she's a great performer.
She is.
I mean, she's really.
I haven't seen her. I'm jealous. I want
to
go see her.
Oh, you
concert.
Have to. Nonstop, yeah. Just gets after it.
I
so
mean,
much
yeah.
fun.
We had a guest on, Meredith Conroy. What did she call Taylor Swift?
The modern feminist
icon.
Yeah.
Yes.
The modern feminist icon. But I agree with that.
I
mean, she has zero F's.
She's awesome.
She's a strong
just
woman,
it.
For sure.
She sure is.
I mean,
cool. Well, Ethan,
See,
thank
and
you.
And
I
ran into a bunch of other strong
That's
women.
That's right.
That's true.
All the time.
I'm surrounded.
You're
absolutely.
Like, oh, gosh.
But
it's just how it works.
It's just
builds
how it works.
You up.
Yeah. So it makes you level up, though, for
so,
sure.
So, Ethan, where can we find you on all the places?
Yeah, absolutely. So Instagram, like you all mentioned, is at eattheweights. If you ever want to email me with inquiries about my gym or anything about what I do, peakfitnessethan@gmail.com. You can always contact me there or through Facebook, the business page for Peak Fitness.
And that's Peak, P-E-A-K.
P-E-A-K, okay. That's correct. So, yeah, absolutely. Reach out to me. You know, if you have any questions and it's easier for you, you can always just shoot me a quick message on my Instagram. Any way you want to reach me, I'd be more than happy to help you out.
He responds super fast, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Cool.
Yes. Awesome. When he's not making us die.
Right.
Right.
Well,
right.
Thank
well,
you
thank
so
you.
Much for joining us, Ethan.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right. Talk to you soon, guys.